innermost being.
Tech support. Oh, there we go, there we go, there we go. Delayed reaction, just like us sometimes. Well, if you want rivers of life flowing out of your innermost being, then we've got to take care of sin, right? We have to. Because as we learn, we are all created as channel vessels. So we have to have a daily practice that helps us to clear the blockages and to take care of sin. The Bible doesn't shy away from telling us the truth. Sometimes we don't like hearing the truth, and sometimes the truth hurts. So in this conference, we heard all these marvelous words, the speaking and the doings of David, who was a man after God's heart, and he did a lot of great things for the Lord. And then last night, it seems we took a turn, and we saw, wait a minute, David was not so perfect. So for us, it's a good thing that we have a complete picture, that the Bible didn't shy away from revealing and exposing the shortcomings of such a faithful servant as David. Because hopefully that makes him more relatable to each and every one of us. Because just like David, we are prone to failure. We make mistakes. We're not perfect, but we shouldn't make excuses, right? So when the Bible reveals that the shortcomings of the servants of God, it's with an intent. So I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want everyone to read these verses together. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 6 through 11, and we'll alternate brothers and sisters. Because you might be wondering, you know, if you're going to write a biography of a great and famous person, it would be good just to leave out all the negative stuff so people could be really impressed by them. But the Bible is not written in this way. The Bible is written in a very particular way, and it shows us these failures of David for a very specific reason. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, do you have it yet? Let's read verse 6 all together, then the brothers 7 and the sisters on 8. We'll continue to alternate till we get to 11. All together, 1 Corinthians 10, 6. Now, these things occurred as examples to us that we should not be the ones who lust after evil things, even as they also lusted. Brothers.
Neither the kingdom of my fellow church, as some of them did, as it is written,
sat down to eat and drink, and stood up to play.
Sisters. All together on 11.
Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our admonition, until the end of the ages have come.
Amen. So I want you to pay particularly attention to this portion of the word, because the Lord in his mercy exposed his servants in this way, even in a very detailed way and a shameful way, so that we could learn from their mistakes, even so that we wouldn't repeat the same mistakes, right? And this would save us time. Because all that we have in our hands, really, is time. You can't buy it back. You can't make it up. Once it's gone, it's gone. But the Lord tells us in His Word that we can redeem the time, which means that we can use the time we have for God's purpose. Whenever we don't use our time for the Lord and his interests, we're really wasting our time. And with David, we see that we need that time because we need the training. We need to be trained, and it takes a long time to be trained, right? To be useful to God. And then last night when we took this turn and we saw some of the details of his failures and shortcomings, I wanted to tie that up a little bit and show you as well that, you know, there are some things that we do in our lives as young people and even as older ones that have consequences that we pay for the rest of our lives. So God forgives, he forgets, but there's a damage done many times to our vessel or to others that you just have to pay those consequences for the rest of your life. And so I want you to see something that we didn't show you yesterday in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 14. So this is, in this portion, this is after Nathan the prophet, which we covered, had revealed to David that he was that man. You are the man who stole the ewe lamb. Right? And he had sinned, and he confessed that he had sinned against Jehovah. And then in verse 14, if you have it, read it with me. Nevertheless, because you have given the enemies of Jehovah much occasion to blaspheme against him, because of these things, the son who is born to you shall also surely die. So, as we know, David committed adultery, and the wife of Uriah, as I mentioned, the Bible doesn't even want to use her name in many instances. You don't see it even in the New Testament. It calls her the wife of Uriah because it was such a shameful situation. But that baby died. And you know that Bathsheba had another son afterwards, right? Do you know who that was? Solomon, yes. Solomon. So that also shows God's mercy, that even he would use our mistakes, and through his forgiveness and through our repentance plus the Lord's forgiveness, he can use even the mistakes that we make for something of his building. Let's read this next portion in 2 Samuel 24. Our brother used this portion as well last night. I want you to see this. Chapter 24, verse 12 to 15. How about, let's read that all together.
Go. And
Keep reading. And David said to Gad, I am in a great strait. Let us walk on the hand. Stop there, and I'll read 15 to you, just a part of it. So Jehovah sent a pestilence in Israel from the morning until the appointed time, and 70,000 people died among the people of Dan to Beersheba. So I wanted to point out these verses and connect it to what was spoken of last night, because we have to realize that the world lies to us. It defrauds us, and it deprives us, really, of the reward that the Lord has intended for us. So it's not a light matter, and it needs to be dealt with seriously and with some degree of gravity. So I hope some of you, last night, you went back, you had some fellowship, you prayed, you had some personal time with the Lord. It's really important for us to have those interactions with the Lord so that he can reveal to us what are the blockages in our channel vessel that are preventing us from growing and preventing him from going on. And so I just want to tell you a little story, an experience that I had once in the first home that we had bought. We had a blockage in the sewer system, right? So nothing was flushing down the toilets. And so I called the plumber, and he tried to diagnose the situation for me, and he said, you have to find the main drain, which was in the basement. And he was really being really helpful over the phone. He says, I can come over, but if I come over, it's going to cost you $500. And then he explained to me what I had to do, which was nasty and dirty. He's like, you have to open up the main drain, put your hands in, and take out everything that's clogging the sewer line. And so I was thinking, $500 doesn't seem like a lot of money to pay a professional to do this. But you know, I rolled my sleeves up, literally, and I put some gloves on, and I decided, well, it's got to be done. I'm a homeowner. I need to learn how to do these things. And, you know, the point of this story is that nobody wants to touch your dung, okay? You've got to take care of your own mess. And that's why before us and the Lord, we need to really have a real conversation and an honest talk. Lord, what is it in my heart that's blocking the flow of the river of life, that's blocking your speaking, that's blocking my seeing, that I can't see what it is that you want me to do or why I'm even here? And so those things, you know, you're all in a stage where you're growing up and you're learning and you're being exposed to some things that maybe you even thought that we didn't know about. But you have to deal with those things between you and the Lord. Those are your issues. Those are the problems you're facing. On the one hand, we as serving ones and some of those companions can help you to pray and to continue to pursue the Lord. But at some point, you're going to hit a plateau where until you have an encounter with the Lord and a real dealing with him and you say to the Lord, Lord, I mean business with you. There's nobody else can help you with that. There's just some things you have to do yourself, right? And David was this kind of person. Even though he fell into some terrible sins, you know what it says in 2 Samuel 5:4? I'll just paraphrase it for you. It mentions that David reigned in Israel. You know how long? 40 years. 40 years. So even though he had this terrible failing, you know what David had to do after he confessed and he repented? He had to continue to reign. He had to continue to lead others. He had to brush himself off, and he had to take on the responsibility, not only for what he had done, but realize that, you know, I need to go on because the Lord has placed me here to serve him and to serve his people. And so one of the characteristics, if you turn to outline 4 of David, I'll be covering just point 1, and then 2 other brothers will follow me. And don't worry, I'm going to finish on time, brothers. So in outline 4, how about we read the 2 bold sections, Roman numeral 1 and 2. Ready? Go. David's service to our service to our own generation. So the reason I wanted you to reread the title is because that title is directly correlates with this last message, because it shows us that David served God. God does serve us as well. David served God, but David served man. And David cared for God. You should write this down. David cared for God, and he cared about God. That's why the Lord called him a man after my own heart. Sisters, how about you read point 8? Okay, stop, sisters. I want you to read all together with a nice, strong spirit. Ready? Go. Right. So in that reference, in that verse, and in this point, you can see those 2 things, that he served God and he also served man. Brothers, read point B. Amen. So this is something actually that we can practice. I know the brothers always like to be first. I don't know how many people here play competitive sports. It's always good to be first. Nobody wants to be second. But guess what? David was the second king in Israel. And he was very useful to God. But this is what I think you should pick up from this verse. Practice not to be first in the church life. Okay? There's a difference between being first in your sports activities or in trying to be the best at school or in your work. But in the church life, practice to be not to be first. What do I mean? I'll give you a very prime example. When we're called to go to lunch or dinner or breakfast, some young people like to run to the head of the line to be first, right? Not only so, but I've noticed, and maybe you have too, that some like to stack their plates a mile high. And it's good you have a healthy appetite. You're growing. But we need to consider one another, right? So the best is take what you're going to eat, just a healthy portion, and then go back for seconds. So that way everybody gets some. I think this is the first time in the camp where we actually ran out of food before the last person ate something during one of the meals. And that's a shame to us. And that means, brothers and sisters, that we're not so exercised when it comes to things that we don't consider our spiritual matters. But guess what? In the Bible, it tells us that to be gluttonous is a sin. So the first and best way that you can enter into some of these experiences is to have a little self-control. Self-control is in the spirit. So if we allow, you know, for others to get something to eat, then we go back, then everybody's taken care of in a good way. We're all taken care of. And this is very practical. We're trying to be very practical with you about these things because this can be practiced. Okay, point C, sisters. So in this point, and I mentioned that David reigned how long? 40 years, right. This is another point that we can apply to our situation. We need to be consistent. And we also need to be stable, even if you have mistakes, even if you commit errors. And if you sin, we should confess and take care of that and come back. I hate to see it when young people go away from the church or skip meetings because they feel like they're not worthy to be with the other young people or with the saints. The truth is, none of us is worthy, but we have the blood. And we need to learn. That's another thing we need to practice, brothers and sisters. Learn to apply the blood to your situation. So that you're not cheated by Satan from not participating in the building work of God. You know, at the Lord's table, we should all be participating. If we're saved and we've been baptized, we should all be participating of the bread and the cup. That's a portion that's been gained for us at a great sacrifice. Amen. If there's an offense, if there's a reason why you can't take the bread or the cup, then that should be cleared up before you get to the table meeting. Because that's so important at that table that we're there to testify all that the Lord has done for us, and we're there anxiously awaiting his return. Our taking the bread and the cup signifies to the Lord, you came and you will return. Amen. And we need to have that kind of hope. So these things are for us to enter into a practice. Okay, D, all together. God used all of David's experiences and sufferings from his youth onward to constitute him and prepare him to be a proper channel vessel so that he could be a blessing to God's people. And he was, and so are you. You have to realize you are all given to your parents as a blessing. Even David, though he was despised, was given to his family as a blessing, and he was. And so are you, and maybe that's not so realized just yet, but we all have to have this concept that the Lord intends that our life would bless others. Okay, and our last point, E, let's read it all together. David served his own generation by the counsel of God. So with this last point, you can see that A and E really go together. They're like bookends. And that's why at the beginning I said, David served God, and David also served man. And one thing we should realize, brothers and sisters, whenever we serve God, spontaneously we are serving man. Because God is for man. God desires all men to be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. Amen. So in our service to God, there should be a service to man. And these two things really go together. And I'm sorry, I'm out of time. There's so much more that I could cover, but I'd like to give the next brother an opportunity to share with you some more. Ready? Thank you. Come on up.
Amen. Let's read Roman numeral 2 together. Service to our own generation. Our service to our own generation. You know, in the society, we loosely designate certain generations. And I always thought that I am of the baby boomer generation, which is a generation with a lot of people, because all these people are born after World War II. There was a lot of casualty or death during World War II. So after the war, there's a lot of birth to kind of catch up on the population. So I always thought I was the baby boomer generation. But recently I found out actually I'm not. I am of the Generation X. I think that's the following generation. Do you know your generation? I think you are of the Generation Z, right? Generation Z. Some of you older ones, those in college or young adults, you're probably the millennials, right? But you, most of you young people are of Generation Z. This is your generation, right? And one of our serving fellowship, a brother mentioned that You know, even in this designation, Generation Z, Z is the last alphabet in the English alphabets. So this may be the last generation before the Lord comes back. You know, you may be. So you need to be prepared, and you need to serve your own generation. What does that mean? I know many of you consider me a serving one. But Peter, do you ever consider yourself a serving one? No, right? Chris, are you a serving one?
No.
Well, but according to what we've shared, we may not put you on a list. Okay, you're serving sixth grade. You're in the sixth grade serving team. But you need, and you are actually, well, God needs someone to serve their own generation, right? God has found David who served his own generation. He needs some today to serve your own generation. So we all need to be serving ones, and we need to learn how to serve because there's such a great need. I'm still serving, and I'm trying to serve your generation, but there needs to be some. And I hope all of you here who would rise up to answer this call that I want to be one who serve my own generation. Okay, let's read A together under Roman numeral 2. In order for us to serve others, we must first come to the Lord and let him serve us so that he can serve others through us. Now, the kind of serving ones that the Lord is looking for are like the channel vessels. Those who allow the Lord to come into them, deal with them, and allow him to flow out to others, right? We are a channel vessels for God. God wants to reach people of this generation, but he needs a lot of channel vessels. Those who are open to him and allow him to flow out. So in order for you to learn to be a serving one, actually what you need to do first is you need to realize that you need to be served. You need to be served. Let's read Mark. Let's read Roman numeral. Let's read 1. Brothers, how about you read 1 together?
The Lord Jesus
himself, as the Son of Man, did not come to be served, but to serve. Sisters, 2.
The Lord served us in the past. He still serves us in the present. And he is going to serve us in the future.
Amen. Let's read Mark 10:45 together. This is the Lord's example. Mark 10:45. Okay, let's find it and read it together. Mark 10:45. For serve us. He didn't come to be served, but he came to serve. And as you're learning to serve, I hope you realize that I cannot serve by myself. I cannot serve in myself. I want to give you 3 examples. In the Old Testament, who are the ones that serve God? What are they called? The priests, right? So in the Old Testament, the priests are those who serve God. But in order for a priest to serve God's people, the priest has to first go into the Holy of Holies, the high priest, to meet God, right? Without him going to God to receive something of God, of something of God speaking, he cannot come out to minister to God's people. So he has to first go to meet God, receive something of God, and then come out to minister to God's people. So that's one example. A priest don't just go out and start doing things, but he has to first meet God, have an interaction, personal relationship, personal contact with God, and then he can come out and minister God to people. And then the second example is David. You know, David was a shepherd who later was chosen to be the king. But before he was the king, he was a shepherd. And he wrote a lot of psalms, right? One of the famous ones is Psalm 23. And in that psalm, what did he say? He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And many of us are touched by that psalm. And I believe he wrote that psalm while taking care of the sheep. Now, it's not that easy to take sheep or the work of shepherding. The sheep don't always follow you. They may go astray. They may try to do their own things. But trying to shepherd, this is the hard work. Not so easy. So I believe while David was shepherding these sheep, he had a realization. Actually, I am a sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. I needed a shepherd. Without the Lord being my shepherd, I can never take care of all the sheep. This year, the church in New York City, our banner is three words: shepherding, restoring, and growing. And I hope you all know this, you know, because you're part of the church in New York City. The Lord led us this year through the brothers that we want to be involved, or we want to really get into the matter of shepherding, restoring, and growing. Now, shepherding are not just done by a few brothers or a few serving brothers. We all have to learn to be shepherds. You can be shepherds to your gospel friends, and you can be shepherd to the ones younger than you, right? For you, young people, you really need to learn to bear this double responsibility of preaching the gospel. I can't go to Stuyvesant, right? Even if I'm allowed to enter on campus, they will say, who's this old guy? What is he doing here, right? they don't respond to people of my age, but they respond to you. They're your friends. They're of your own generation. So you need to learn, you need to develop a habit, or you need to have a heart for those people around you in the matter of the gospel. And we need to learn to care for younger ones. There are so many younger ones in the church life. Sixth graders just received the Lord in the Bronx, right? Was it six? I think from the picture, six. And then five or six from Queens. Five. Four were baptized 2 weeks ago, and one brother, James, right? Richard Wong. Going and where's his brother Richard? David, yeah. David, have you ever prayed for Richard?
Yeah.
You pray for his salvation? Okay. You glad he received the Lord? Are you glad he received the Lord?
Yeah.
You're praying for his baptism, right? So he is your brother, but spiritually, he is one of the sheep that maybe you need to care for. So before, I don't know your relationship with your brother, whether you knock him around or something, but you need to be a proper pattern, right, to your brother, caring for him as a sheep. But it's not easy. It's not easy because I've got two sisters. And growing up, I wouldn't fight with them. Right? One of them is, May is my sister. We play together. We fight together. Sometimes we do fight. But we need to realize that our younger siblings, they look at you, right? Whatever you do, it's a pattern to them, positive or negative. So how we conduct ourselves, we need to be the proper pattern. We need to be the head sheep, right? We're shepherds, but we're also sheep, just like David. David was a shepherd, but he realized he's one of God's sheep. So in the church life, Paul has one sister, right? Two sisters. Oh, right. Two sisters. Well, one older, one younger. So you're a sheep. You're also a shepherd. As a leading sheep, or as a sheep ahead of the younger ones following you, you're both a sheep and a shepherd, just like David. David was a sheep and a shepherd. So we all need to learn how to be the proper pattern, how to care for those who are younger than us. Another example that I enjoy is Peter. In John chapter 21, this was also after a big failure. He denied the Lord three times, right? He told the Lord, I will never deny you. If anybody deny you, I'm going to stick with you, no matter what. The Lord said, no. Before the crow, the rooster crowed twice, you will deny me three times. Not just once, not just twice, three times. Peter said, no, I'll never do that. But he did. And in front of a young servant girl, he denied the Lord three times. How do you feel? How do you think he feels? He probably thinks he's through with the Lord, right? Such a big failure he was in. But John 21, the Lord came while he went out fishing with some other brothers. The Lord came. The Lord did not condemn him. The Lord prepared, told him where to fish and also prepared breakfast on the shore for him. And the Lord came to recover him. The Lord came to shepherd him. And after feeding him breakfast, he says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, Lord, I love you. And he said it three times to recover Peter's love back to him. Now, as we're learning to shepherd younger ones, gospel friends, it's not going to be easy. The work of shepherding is not easy. Right, Esther? It's not easy. Many times we want to give up. Lord, no more. I don't want to deal with these young people anymore. And I don't want to deal with the gospel friends anymore. You know, you have gospel friends. Recently, Grace had a friend who was really seeking the Lord, came to our meeting, but then there's something that's just frustrating him from coming now. We need to continue to pray. Amen. And we need to seek the Lord. We need to come to the Lord as our shepherd. So before we can help anyone, we need the Lord's help. We need the Lord to supply us. So I hope as you're learning to serve, never forget this point, that you can never serve the Lord by yourself. Before you serve, before you can flow out to others, before you can give something, give something to someone, you need to first come to the Lord and allow the Lord to serve you first by ministering himself to you and by flowing himself to you. Amen. Okay, let's read B together. We need to experience the joy of being channel vessels for the Lord. One, we were chosen to be the Lord's vessels. Two, being a channel vessel for the Lord is a blessing and an enjoyment. Amen. Acts 20:35. Acts 20:35. 20:35. Amen. In all things I have shown you by example that toiling in this way we ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Last phrase again. It is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, a vessel or a channel vessel is happy when it's flowing, right? With the water. Any time when the water stops coming, there's a clog. You know, anytime we're complaining, we're thinking, why does all these things happen to me? Me. Why? How come no one is taking care of me? If you're always on the receiving end, you're not so happy. You're not so joyful. But when you're taking care of others, when you're helping others, when you're giving, and we're going to tell you a little bit about how you can give. And you can give a lot, young people. Maybe you don't have a lot of money. You think, oh, I don't have that much to give. Actually, you have a lot to give. You can give your time to someone. You know, all these younger ones, they love to be with you guys. Again, they probably don't like to spend that much time with me, but they like to be with you. They like to follow you. They look up to you. So for you to give some time to be with the younger ones, for you to give some attention to these younger ones, to show some interest to what they are doing, that's a giving. That's a flowing. And if you enjoy the Lord, and out of that enjoyment of the Lord, you're taking care of someone, out of your burden that the Lord gave you, you're happy, you're joyful. And I can testify, yes, serving is hard, it's difficult. But also there's a joy. When you minister or helping, you're serving young people, it's just a joy. It's an indescribable joy when you're learning to give, to be this channel vessels to flow out. So this experience is for all of us to have, all of us to take. We need to learn to give rather than to be received. If you're all the time expecting to receive, you will be miserable. But if you're learning to flow out, to give, you'll be happy. Amen.
Okay. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I could just echo what our brother said. It is such a joy to serve, but it's also so difficult. You know, it took 2 years for me to find out that Justice actually listened to what happened in that fellowship during the summer school of truth. Imagine 2 years, you speak something to a brother, you're just praying, hoping something happens, and then 2 years later, at the end of a meeting, he responds, amen. thank the Lord that brother said something. I was like, what? Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know, all of us here are serving ones, and when I say us, I mean all of us. Young people, older people, oldest people, youngest people, whoever we are, if we're here, we're serving ones because we're all channel vessels for the Lord. So when our brother asked Chris whether or not he was a serving one, Chris said no. Chris is such a smart guy. He actually answered a question wrong for like the first time ever. Chris is absolutely a serving one. He serves Zach all the time. That's your younger brother. You take care of him, no?
Yeah.
Of course you do. I would hope so. You know, a lot of the things Zach has learned and how he responds and his wittiness and his humor, a lot of it comes from Chris. Because you're a pattern to him. He sees you. He sees how you speak, how you respond, and he does the same thing. So all of us in some way are serving, right? Because what we are just these channels that the Lord is allowed to flow through, right? And so no matter what, whether we think it or not, we're serving ones. And there's always someone looking at us, always seeing how we do something, how we say something, right? And if we want to be those who serve our generation, we want to be cognizant of this so that we could allow the Lord to be lived out through us in all manners of situations. You know, I remember something that happened actually when I was in the sixth grade. So I would have been younger than most of you guys. I was at a school called PS178, and I was just being who I am at the school.
I went to PS 178.
Yeah. I was there in the sixth grade. And so I was at that school. And what happened was I found out from one of my serving ones at the time. Actually, it was Brother Juan. One of the serving ones at the time, he said, oh, one of the younger kids was talking about you at school. They saw you, and they were talking about something you were doing. And I was like, uh-oh. Because I know how I was at school, and I was like, man, I hope I was doing something good and not something bad. You know what? Years later, I can't tell you exactly what I was doing, but what he told me, and I never forgot, was like, yeah, he saw you. He recognized you. The younger ones are looking up to you. And I was like, uh-oh. I knew when I was in the church meeting, I had to be a certain way, but at school, I was like, I mean, I thought this was a free zone. I could do whatever I want. But no, the people of God are watching you even in these situations, right? And so what we have to see and what we have to realize is that as these channel vessels, no matter what we're doing, no matter where we are, there are people watching, and we want to make sure to represent the Lord the best possible way. Amen?
Amen.
So let's read point C. All together with a strong spirit.
In order to be channel vessels for the Lord, we must.
Oh, what? Just chance. Just see. Okay. So what I want you guys to do is underline a few things, right? And so what it says is, in order to be channel vessels for the Lord, we must, and just underline these two words, be open, under number one. We must be open. We must be open to what? To receive the Lord's dispensing by enjoying him and remaining in fellowship with him continually. But that is just simply be open. The reason it's there is because sometimes we're closed. So we need a reminder that we need to be open. And so let's turn to these verses, 2 Corinthians 3:16 through 18. And we'll just read about this. And this actually goes with our fellowship from last night, these verses. 2 Corinthians verses 3:16 through 18. And we're going to read all these verses. All right, let's read this all together. But whenever their hearts appreciate these verses, and whenever I feel closed, these verses come to me, bring me comfort, because they provide direction in saying this, but whenever. Amen. No matter what the situation, no matter how we feel, whenever our hearts are turned, the veil's removed, and when the veil's removed, we're able to see the Lord, and seeing the Lord we see here is the same as beholding him, and then also reflecting him, right? This is the function of the channel vessel, to be open to receiving the Lord and reflecting the Lord back to others. This is what we could do at our schools. Sometimes we're in class, the subject matter might be boring, or the subject matter might be super engaging, it doesn't matter. But we feel there's some blockage between us and the Lord. Whenever that happens, we could just turn our heart to him, very simply, even by declaring it, Lord, whenever, you said whenever, so right now, in this moment, I turn my heart to you. And the moment that happens, the Lord is the Spirit is there, and we can enter into this transmission of beholding and reflecting the Lord. So the next thing we need to see in order to be a channel vessel, number two, we need to deal with our heart. So just underline those four words, deal with our heart. So I'll finish reading. It says, we need to deal with our heart continually that it may be good ground for the Lord to grow and through which the Lord can flow. So the verse we'll read for this is Proverbs 4:23. We had read this when Brother Aaron spoke yesterday morning, but I think it's good to come back to this verse. Proverbs 4:23. And this shows us why we need to deal with our heart. Got it? All right, let's read it.
Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it are the issues of life.
All right, sisters, let's read this again.
Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it are the issues of life.
Brothers,
keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it are the issues of life.
Amen. We have to keep our heart with all vigilance. The reason which is because of from our heart comes the issues of life, right? As a channel vessel, the way we represent the Lord is from our heart, through our mind, our emotion, our will, our conscience being the gateway from our spirit into our soul, we can express the Lord. So we have to keep our heart from so many things that would distract it or would impact it negatively, like we saw yesterday. So we have to be vigilant to keep our heart. And this will help us in being a channel vessel proper with the Lord. So number three, let's underline two words. Be willing. Point three under C. Be willing. Let's underline those. So we saw we have to be open. We have to deal with our heart. And also a part of our heart is our will. So we need to be willing. Be willing to let the Lord flow through us and out of us to reach others. So with this, we'll read John 7:38. Amen. He
who believes into me, as the scripture says, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Amen.
Hallelujah. As a channel vessel, we're here to present ourselves so that out of our being can flow these rivers of living water, right? All of us have believed. All of us here are believers. Right? Everyone's received the Lord. So what issues from this believing is that out of our being would flow these rivers of living water, right? That's fulfilling our function. That's the reality of our service. That's all we're doing, is presenting ourselves to God so that God could flow into man, right? That's what we're going to do. And in this next section, what we're going to cover is the practicality of this. All these matters that I just presented, this is an inward experience. This happens within us, right? When it comes to being open, none of us really knows whether or not you're open. I can't look at Jonathan and say, oh, he's so open right now. I don't know. He knows inwardly what's going on. You know, some people could just put on a face and they, but inwardly he could be thinking about League of Legends. I have no idea, right? So we don't know what the real openness is. So what we want to do is talk to you guys about what your inward condition is. You know whether or not you're open, right? You know whether or not you're even willing to flow out. I don't know what you're at or like at school all the time. You know whether or not there's willingness, and you know how to deal with your heart or whether or not you're dealing with your heart. These are all inward matters. But what we could present to you and what we see in the Word is if you do these three things, if you take care of this inward condition, there'll be an issue, and the issue we see is in these practical ways that we could serve our generation. So let's read point D together.
Practical ways to serve our generation.
And so with these practical ways, we're also going to give you guys some action items. So I'm going to ask you all to write these down after you guys have your gummy bears and enjoy. I like to see my sister Elaine. She's serving right now, presenting 3 pounds of gummy bears to all the saints. That's a service. That's a cherishing, right? That's nice. Don't, it's okay. I had some Swedish fish I was handing out. That's good. We want to warm each other up, right? So that's a practical way of taking care of each other, but that's not primary. The primary matter we're going to see right here. Let's read point number one.
Praying for others.
In our service, we need to first come to the Lord, right? That's the first thing we have to do. And Brother Frank presented the priest's function. The first thing the high priest did was go to the Holy of Holies, right? There in front of the Ark of Testimony, under the cherubim, beholding God's glory. Then they could come out and serve the rest of the children of Israel. So for that, we have to pray. 6:30 this morning, all of us servants, where were we? We were here praying for you all before we can come and serve you. We had to pray first. And so what we'd ask you guys to do, please write this down. This is what we're asking for you all to do, is to pray with one another. And there's going to be some instructions with this. The rest of the week, you guys are out of school. We'd like you to pick someone, exchange numbers, and pray with that person every day until school starts. Yeah, I see some smiles. Just pray. And it doesn't have to be long. 1 minute, 2 minutes, just pray with them. I was so happy when I saw Boris and Julian sitting together. I said, wow, we have a perfect pair right there. Boris and Julian, they could get together and pray. That'll be a service to one another. Amen. And you're not just going to pray for your own situations. You guys will pray for others, right? So Boris and Julian, you guys exchange numbers. That'll be great. We have Miguel and Nolan there. I like to see, you know, Miguel was helping Nolan. He was actually taking care of him. As I was sitting there, I was watching, he was kind of lining him up, you know, like as if he was giving him a haircut. As you guys don't know, sometimes it's very, you need to have that sharp cut like Nolan has. You need someone to serve you to get that. It's hard to do that yourself. That's the brothers serving one another. That's practical, but the first thing they should be doing is praying with one another. So the rest of this week, you guys call each other, quick, 2 minutes, Lord Jesus. Man, you guys get together and you guys pray for Jeremiah. You know how awesome that would be? Get out of your situations, pray for the brothers. So that's the first thing we're asking. So for the rest of this week, until school starts, get with one person here, right? And if there's an odd number, twos and threes, right? Oh man, what if Rebecca and Audrey got together to pray? Wouldn't that be awesome? Look, oh, that'd be terrific. You guys pray every day until school starts. Then, once school starts, because I know you guys will get busy, every day is hard, once a week. How does that sound? Once a week. Amen?
Amen.
Once a week until we start this next YP conference. You know we're going to have another conference. Everyone's going to get together. It's going to begin March 28th through April 1st, which is like that Easter weekend. We have that large conference with everyone from the Northeast. So up until then, we have about 7 weeks. So we're asking you guys to pray every day, and then for the next 7 weeks, only seven times, seven more times, just get together and pray. And this way we could start serving our own generation, right? So in this prayer time, I hear some rumbling, guys. Let's listen up. So in this prayer time, what we're asking you to do is what's here in point one. Pray for others. Not just pray for your situation, not just pray for your exams. I know a lot of you guys are doing that, but pray for others. You know, our brother mentioned the 3 banners for the church this year: shepherding, right? Restoration, recovery, and also growing in life. Pray for others. You know, if Audrey and Rebecca get together and they're praying, we want them to pray for Betty to grow in life. That's why you guys are praying. And then Betty and Innie, while they're praying for Rebecca and Audrey. You guys are praying for others. That's what you're doing, so each other could grow in life. So then number two, being a proper pattern to others. Let's move on to this one. Being a proper pattern to others. And for this, let's read 1 Timothy 4:12, 4:15, and 4:16.
No one.
Let's get, is everyone there? 1 Timothy 4:12, then 4:15, and then 4:16. Do we have it? First Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12.
Let no one despise your youth, but be a pattern to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity.
15.
Practice these things, be in them, that your progress may be manifest in all.
16. In our fellowship, when us three brothers got together considering this, our brother mentioned that in verse 16, there's this one word, and I just had that same sentiment. There's this word, continue. You guys have received so much, and there'll be so much practical help in the pattern of what we've seen in David and what we've seen in the serving ones. All our burden is that you guys would continue in these things. All of these practical points that we're giving is so that you can continue and continually be in this practice, right? Inwardly being inclined toward the Lord, having fellowship with him, and then outwardly in your environment being a pattern to those around you. Again, I started off by saying people are looking at you. You might not think it, but it's the case. And so I like this example Brother Frank gave about every weekend when he comes back to work, coworkers will just ask, and this happens to me all the time, what did you do this weekend? They always ask me, and I always tell them, oh, Saturday morning, I had a young people serving ones fellowship at my house. They were all there. Then we have like a home church group that we do on Saturday. And then on Sunday, I was at a church meeting. It was great. I was with the youth again. The afternoon, I had a couple who came over my house. And then after that, just kind of hung out. And that's my weekend. And every weekend, they hear the same thing. You know the responses I get? They're so interesting. People are like, wow, oh man, you're really active in church. You know, I used to go to church too, and I just feel like I really need to get back into it. And all of a sudden, we can have fellowship because of this. I didn't do anything. I just said what I do in the weekend. But they developed this view of me like, wow, this guy is really a churchgoer. He really is close to the Lord. And automatically, they open up their situation. I don't have to do something. I just have to be who I am, and that pattern is set up. You know, I ended up having great fellowship with one of my colleagues just as a result of this, just by saying, yeah, oh, I'm getting prepared. We're going to have this youth retreat with the young people from the church. We're kind of coordinating that and getting ready. And she just opens up her situation, how she used to believe in the Lord, and now she's really trying to get back, brought up the situation with her and her husband and all these things. And I was like, yeah, we just need to pray. Like, oh, my goodness. I didn't expect all that, but it just opened up because they realized, wow, this is a person who's close to the Lord. Mm-hmm. You guys aren't too young to have these experiences, right? That's why it begins with, don't despise your youth. Let no one despise your youth. Just because you're young doesn't mean that you can't be a channel vessel. In fact, because you're young, you're a channel vessel to a group that we can't reach. I love what Brother Frank did. Imagine if me, Frank, and Juan start walking through Stuyvesant trying to talk to people. Right? Security will kick us out right away. What are you doing here? Right? If I come up, hey, Rebecca, what's up? Brother Marvin, I'm here just going to say hi and meet your friend. Oh, my goodness. Everybody would run to get us out of there. We can't do it, but you guys can do it. And by being a pattern is very simple. Just let them know what you do. A pattern is just someone, it's something that's repeated, it's something that someone sees and they replicate. You know, as I was sitting there, Nolan was trying to be a pattern of me, right? We were just staring at one another. I'm looking at him, he's looking at me. I move like this, he was moving like this. I was like, whoa, this is intense. I'm about to speak about this and he's already doing it. He was just being a pattern of what I was doing. And you guys could do that also when you get to your schools. So number three, giving, amen. Let's read this one together, number three.
Giving to others of our time, money, or energy.
So let's read Romans 12:10. We're going to read Romans 12:10, 13, and 15. You know, we all have something to give. I appreciate that. This point really brings that out. Romans 12, verses 10, 13, and 15. You got it? Let's read it.
Love one another warmly in brotherly love. Take a lead in showing honor one to another.
13.
Contribute
to the needs of the saints.
Pursue hospitality.
15.
Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep.
You know, what we see here is something all of us could do. This isn't a matter of our age. It isn't a matter of what resources we have monetarily. Because look at this, right? Our greatest resource, Brother Juan brought this out, is our time. And you guys have more time than we do. So you have more of this resource. Time, money, energy. You guys have so much energy. It was like 6:30 in the morning yesterday. We're walking to go to the Serving with Fellowship. We're dragging our feet. We see you guys running around in the field. So much energy. That could be given to serve your generation, right? You know, when we see this matter of pursuing hospitality, it isn't just hosting someone, right? Your hospitality is really just making sure you're open for them, available for them. Sometimes giving hospitality is actually just meeting somebody's need where they're at. You know a colleague or a friend or someone is going through a hard time. Maybe you do have to study. Why not put aside like that 10 minutes to be hospitable, to be warm, to be open to them so they can speak to you concerning the things going on? You know, when my colleague came to me that time and we had this brief conversation, I had some work to do. You know, I have a project that's going on. I'm doing something. And I just had the feeling, you know what, let's just be open to them. They came, sat down, opened up a serious matter, right? I was like, whoa, this is nothing that I could have ever imagined. But let me be open, and that way the Lord actually had a way. This is something you guys can do with your time. And then rejoice when others rejoice, weep when others weep. How sweet is that, right? One of your colleagues or one of your friends, something happens, they get into that school that you might have wanted to get into. You didn't get into it, they did. Rejoice with them. Don't get mad. Lord, I can't believe they got into Brandeis. I wanted to get into Brandeis. Don't do that. Rejoice. Oh, I'm so happy you did that. That's terrific. What? You're going to Northeastern? Amen. There's a campus team there. I could connect you to some saints over there. Rejoice with them. Something happens that saddens them. Weep with them, right? And this way we're actually matching with their feeling. And this is a shepherding to them. This is how we could serve them. Amen. All right, let's move on. Number 4, let's read this one all together. Participating
in the practical service in the church life. In the Old Testament, the service related to the practical affairs related to the tent of meeting was called the service of the tabernacle. It was a holy service carried out only by consecrated ones.
I'm really so inspired whenever I go and I meet and I see the young people serving in our district, right? In our district, we have a lot of young persons who are serving. They serve on the piano service. When I come to District 7, I see them serving on ushering. The Young Brothers, I don't know if you guys know them, they just started serving this year. They came probably a year ago, came into the church life, and now they're serving. They're ushering. It's a practical service, right? The verses we have here in Numbers is talking about the priesthood. The priest didn't just go into the Holy of Holies. They took care of everything with regard to the tent of meeting and the tabernacle. Whatever it was, they took care of. There was this group that took care of the poles and the curtains and all of these things, another group that carried the Ark of Testimony. Everybody has a role, a function, something that they could do in the church life, right? Our brother Zihao, he serves with the children. I'm always happy to see that. It's really great that he could be there to serve the younger generation practically in that way. And we can all enter into a service. So it doesn't matter how old you are. If you're a sixth grader, talk to the serving ones and see if you can get on the children's service. There's no reason that you can't take care of someone who's in the fourth grade. You absolutely could, and you can learn from these ones and take care of them, right? Philip right here, I remember when Philip was a young person. Now look, he's serving the YP. It's amazing. You guys, I don't know, you guys don't have the breath of time to see this, but right now, I get to be with these serving ones who served me when I was your age. It's a trip. I can't even explain to you. Like, preparing with Brother Juan when it was like I was in his van. We were throwing apples out the car, doing all kinds of crazy things. And now, look at what happened, right? That's the Lord ministering to us through this brother. And now, we can now minister to you all, right? This is the practical service. And now, let's read this. These last two. We could just read these sections and go through shepherding and preaching the gospel. So, five.
Shepherding others.
Six.
Preaching the gospel.
Amen. So the shepherding we touched on, Brother Frank mentioned it. We talked about it. I appreciate that in the outline point, it does put our siblings there. You know, when we're talking about shepherding and we're talking about this matter of being channel vessels, it's really presenting the Lord to others, right? Having a free way to let the Lord flow out of us into others. This could be done in the home, right? So whenever Chris enjoys something in the Word, just a small point, he's reading his Bible, he enjoys something, he could pull Zach into his room. Hey, Zach, come here. Did you ever see this in this verse? That's shepherding. That's a service. That's what makes you a servant one, right? Paul, you know, Paul's sister loves him. I don't know if you guys know this, man. Paul's sister yesterday came to me like five different times on his behalf about something. Did you see Paul? Did Paul wake up this morning? Is he coming? Is Paul here? Hey, Marvin, did you give Paul his phone back? Did you give his phone back? Like five different times. Man, she loves him. She's so ready to serve him. Now I'm wondering, is Paul the same way? Is Paul like, hey, come here. This is what I enjoyed in the young people's meeting, right? Is he serving Christ to her? I'm sure he is, right, Paul? Amen? Amen, yeah. And if he's not, he will be, right? Because even in the home, you could have that mutual shepherding, that care, right? And if you're doing all of these items, if you're praying for others, being a proper pattern to others, giving your time, participating, shepherding, I'll tell you what, organically, you'll preach the gospel.
Amen.
It'll just happen. You won't even be able to help it. You know, our gospel preaching is really just a matter of how we live. So let's read this verse, Romans 1:9, and we'll see something concerning the gospel. I'm sure you guys have read this before, but it's always good having this refresher. Romans 1:9. Amen. For God
is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit, in the gospel of his Son, how unceasingly I make mention of you always in my prayers.
So the apostle here, through his prayer concerning the gospel, could even say that God is his witness, right? That how much he cared about praying for others for their salvation. So the beginning of this gospel preaching is actually this matter of our praying for others. When we start praying for others, caring for them, a burden comes, and automatically what issues from that is us telling out the good news concerning the Lord. Once we start doing that, we can't help it. And that actually becomes a preservation to us. Because people know about my living outside of work, there are things I'm preserved from when it comes to inside of work. So I'll give you an example, right? If something is happening, there's an event. Oh, there's this happy hour thing or what have you. People, they'll tell me I can't come because I have a church meeting. I don't even have to say anything. Be like, yeah, they're doing this thing on Saturday night. Oh, yeah. Ooh. Yeah, you have that church meeting thing. Okay. Now I can't come. They know I can't come. They tell me because I'm not, like, weird. They would love to hang out with me, but I can't go because Saturday's night, that's my home group meeting. You guys know that, right? So that is a gospel living, because that same person, when they have a situation or a circumstance where they need the Lord, they know they could come to me for that, right? So if you guys start living this lifestyle and having this life, when it comes to your school life, you'll be serving your generation because they'll know, you know what, man, Peter's not really around when we're trying to do this or that, but I'm going through this situation, I have these questions, I could come to Peter with this matter. Hey, Peter, I watched this little video about the Lord, and I'm just wondering, does your church talk about this, or does they talk about that, what have you? There's an opportunity there. Because you had lived this kind of life, and you were serving your generation in these ways, there's an opening for the gospel, right? A lot of the times we think the gospel is something difficult, but, you know, I just heard my brother Ming say amen. I'm encouraged. Ming, every Thursday, he's out there preaching the gospel, handing out gospel tracts. That's something else we have for you guys. We got these gospel tracts here, and this is, some again, something practical we're asking you guys to do. For the next, and you guys have to write this down, because I don't want questions. These are the instructions. For the next 7 weeks, not that long, what we're asking you to do is hand out 2 gospel tracts a week. Why'd you guys laugh? Is that too, it's too few? It's not enough? You want 5? 5 is better? 2 gospel tracts a week. That's it.
To someone you know.
To someone you know. Well, yeah, not a stranger. Oh, you guys thought it was a stranger? No, to someone you know, 2 gospel tracts a week. Right? Yeah. And so we'll have them, and so in all the districts, the brothers will have them for you. Right? It comes up with all of us who are here. We did the math. It comes out to about 940 gospel tracts that'll be spread out. Right? And there's a view concerning this. Remember, we told you the banners, right? Shepherding, recovery, right? The growth in life, but not just the growth in life. It's the growth in life and the growth in number. The church has a goal. Our goal is to grow, right? So we can have fruit to give to the Lord for his satisfaction. So by the end of this summer, by the beginning of this summer, excuse me, we'd like all the districts to have 1,000. That's the number, right? And you guys are taking part in this service, right? So with the view toward this 1,000, you guys will be handing about 1,000 tracts. Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, this is a practical way. Yeah, you see how excited Chris is? Chris is going to be handing out 2 tracts every week for 7 weeks. Now, individually, that's not that much. That's not that much. But corporately, you put it together, all of us, look at what happens. It comes out to 940 tracts. And so we'll have the tracts made available for you. Come to your district. You guys will get the tracts, and you just hand them out. But before you hand them out, pray over the tracts, right? You want to really have these tracts be blessed, so pray concerning who you give it to. My wife and I, we already had some fellowship about this. We got 2,000 tracts at the house right now. We're getting ready. Yeah, this is everybody's laboring together. We're your co-laborers. We're all working toward this goal. Amen? So we have that. And again, this is the last one I need you guys to write down. This is the last one. I know we're asking you to do a lot, but we just had this retreat. We had this conference. It should issue in some action, right? There's something that needs to come from this. And so the last one, this is, again, just so you guys can keep up the momentum and keep this continual fellowship, we're asking for set times of prayer. This is something David did, and this is something we'd like you guys to do before the Lord, have set times of prayer. And so what David said is he prayed in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. Mm-hmm. So we're asking for you individually to set your times where you could pray in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. And so for this 7-week period, for this time from now till the conference begins in March through April, that Easter weekend, right, what we're asking for you guys to do is have these set times of prayer. Now, they don't have to be long. We're not saying pray for 10 minutes every day, a half hour. It would be great if you could, but we know your schedule is busy. So we'll just leave that up to you and the Lord. But these set times of prayer, in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening, right? you could set aside a time. I appreciated what Brother Peter shared on Lord's Day evening. He was at work. He felt like he hadn't touched the Lord in a few hours. He just ran to the restroom. Lord Jesus, right? Just, oh Lord, just started to pray. Wherever you could go and have these set times, we'd like you guys to do that. And to help you, what we've done for this week, it's like a starter. We have these right here. These are morning watch Bible verses. So you can start your morning time. We have some verses based off the fellowship we had, and it goes through the rest of this week. So we know you guys have off. We know a lot of you want to sleep in late, so you'll sleep until 7:30 or 7:45, which is late, right? That's late for you guys. And so now, right, I mean, how much later are you guys sleeping? Nobody here is sleeping till midday or something like that. I know you guys aren't doing that. Why would you expose yourself to it? No. So, you know, you'd wake up. Well, if you sleep until 12, how are you going to pray in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening? Right? So you're going to have some time in the morning. So, all right. So when you have your time in the morning, here are just some verses for you guys to pray over, right? And so we'll have this for you guys. So we'll have these for you, right? The prayer in the morning, afternoon, evening, we have this for you, right? Then we have the gospel tracts, right? Two a week for the next 7 weeks. And we have enough for you guys today, and we'll get more so that every Lord's Day when you come to the meeting, you could kind of re-up and get as many as you need. And then we're also asking for you guys to pray for others in pairs. So these are the three action items that we have for you guys post this retreat, right? So that way, instead of just having a conference high or a retreat high, we can maintain this, right? Because we want to be in the continual practice. The reason David failed is because he didn't keep up the practices he had already had, right? So we can save ourselves from failure by keeping up with this. So I'll be excited to hear what happens when Boris and Julian praise together for 7 weeks. It's going to be amazing. And then you're handing out these tracts. The Lord is going to bless us so much. So we're just so happy that you guys could hear these words, but also practically can serve your generation through all of these three steps, right? Amen. Amen. Let's have some prayers.